Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Joachim and the queen mother and the eunuchs and the officials of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the metalworkers, had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by hand. Elisha, the son of Shaphan, Gemara, the son of the king of Judah, sent Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. It said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles who I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and daughters and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease." Let me read that again. "Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let the prophets and the diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to their dreams that they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed from Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to the place." Starts to sound familiar right here. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and hope. Then you will call upon my name and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile." Kind of a famous passage, isn't it? How many of you heard that passage before? "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." How many of you heard the beginning part? It's not as famous. In this room, by the way, my name's Aaron. I'm a friend of Nate's. You can trust me, kind of. I dress a lot like Nate. In this passage is something that's gripped me. And in this room, how many of you are not from here? How many of you are not from Ashland? How many of you have come here for a period of time to study and learn and be sent into and on into your future? Some of you may get stuck here for a long, long time. We got a group of people that are over here. But one of the things I love about this passage is it's speaking to a group of people that are not in their home anymore. They're in exile. And this group of people are saying, "I'm just here for a little while, so I'm not going to get comfortable. I'm not going to invest in this place because this is really only a stepping stone into something new and in the future." Does that sound familiar to any of you? "I'm not going to drill down and make connections and invest in this place because really this place is only a stopping ground for something bigger, better, and more in the future." That's oftentimes my mindset in the places that I live. But this passage has been jumping off the page lately for me to realize that we are all in exile. We are all in a place that we are not home in. You know, we could take that as Christians and followers of Jesus, yes, looking at that as heaven. But I believe that there's a special message in this for the people that are at the well tonight. Some of you have an idea of this is just setting me up. Ashland University or Ashland is really just a place that I'm to be for a while, to take from, to get some things, and then to move on into my future. And I kind of believe the Lord has a message for you in this passage to say these things. Invest in this place. Pray for the prosperity of Ashland University, because in Ashland University's prosperity and peace will be your prosperity and peace. Pray for the prosperity of your dorm room, because in the prosperity and the peace in your dorm, in your job, in the places, in your sports team, in your academic circle, in all of those, pray for them and invest for them. Jeremiah, inspired by the Spirit of God, says these things. He says, "Buy a house, plant a garden, stay a while. Settle in. Make this place incredible." Because as you are making this place incredible, you're actually infusing the kingdom of God into the location where you're in exile. So each one of you, in every location you're at, whether you live in Ashland, whether you're in the surrounding area, whether you're a student or whatnot, the place that you're at, instead of looking at this as just a stepping stone unto the future, why don't you heed the words of the Lord when he says, hey, I got the future under control because I know the plans I have for you. I'm a person who has a really hard time being present. I'm always looking at what's going on ahead. Anybody else like that? Could I get a witness of someone else? Yes, there we go. Do you holla? Oh, I saw. You got hit in the head during one of the praises. She was like, spirit break, and she got like punched. So I used to lead worship here at the Well 100 years ago, and one time I got real excited, and I turned, and I hit this girl's microphone, and it went, and chipped her tooth. And then we prayed healing, and it grew back. Nope. The half of that's true. You pick which one. Anyways. But this thing is, this is grabbing me because I've had such a mindset for me of focusing on what is to come. What's the Lord going to do in the future? What's he getting me ready for? What's this hope and what's this future that he wants me to be about? And he's been saying, Aaron, take a step back. Settle in and be present to the place where you're at right now. Pray for the prosperity of Ashland University. Pray for the prosperity of your job. Not the next job that this one's going to lead to, but the job you're in right now. Settle in. Do whatever the equivalent to planting a garden is. Whatever the equivalent to getting a wife and having your kids' kids have kids. I don't know. We'll leave that alone. No. No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what we're leading to. That's not, no. We'll leave that alone. He said we're allowed. Now, it's bringing the kingdom to earth. Anyways. But this idea that you are all in this room, you are exiles. You're not home. And you're in a place that instead of just looking to where you were, because Israel is stuck in exile. They're in Babylon. They're in a foreign land under foreign law. And they're looking to where they were and to where they're going. And the Lord says, stop looking at where you were. Stop looking at where you're going to be. I got both of those under control. And start drilling down to the place you are now. And in every conversation and in everything you do, bring my kingdom into that place. Plant a garden. Invest in the relationships that you have around you. Invest in those classes. Because in praying for and investing in the prosperity of this place comes your peace and your prosperity. And we bring the kingdom of God into every place we go as we invest in the location that we're at, not just where we're going to be. Trusting that the Lord's got it under control when he said, I know the plans I have for you. Almost having to say is, all right, Lord, here's my future. I'm handing it to you. You got it? You sure? Thank you. I know you got a hope and a future for me. And now I will be present, and I will invest in the place that I'm at, and I will allow the Spirit to break out as I set my sails in the location that I'm in right now, and you will bring transformation to Ashland University and Ashland County and all the places that you go if you will invest and pray for the prosperity and the peace of your city. And guess what happens when that city begins to experience peace and prosperity? You do too. And who gets the glory? God. You know how you do this? Be the teacher, the friend, the pre-med student, the athlete. How else do you do it? Tell me the things that you're involved in right now. Just speak them out. What do you do? Band. Invest in the band. Bring the kingdom into the band. Pray for the peace and prosperity of the band, because in that will come peace and prosperity for you. What else? Ashbrook, absolutely. Instead of looking at the career ahead of you, you look right in front of you. And that is the place where you invest. Because who's got your future under control? God. What do you get to do? Bring his kingdom right there. One more. Res Life. Absolutely. So you pray for the peace and prosperity in Res Life, and you bring the kingdom right there. This, reading this passage, and some of my friends who live in Boulder, Colorado, who really live this out, it's destroying me in the most amazing way. No longer am I looking over the shoulder of the people in front of me on how I get to heaven than just saying, oh, I invest in this place right here. And I get to live out the kingdom principles and values in the place that I'm in. And I invest in that city. And investing in that city, I'm actually investing what God has given to me into that city. And little do they know, I'm bringing the kingdom in that area. Makes God a whole lot bigger when he gets to invade our economics as well as the songs that we sing. He gets to invest and impact our education and our vocation. I'm getting super preachy. You got the idea, right? You're all exiles. I'm an exile. But instead of looking to the place that we're going to be, let God figure that out as you invest in the place that he has sent you now. And whatever it looks like to make a garden, to make things around you beautiful, do it for his glory. And may the Spirit break out with every step that you take as you are blessing the city and praying for her prosperity and her peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Give it up for my friend Aaron, right? So Aaron's in town because tomorrow night, you know, we've been talking about we're having this religious life reunion.
Wow, yeah, get after it.
And one of the things that's really been amazing is that the religious life and the well didn't always used to be like this, right? Like, it used to be like Aaron and two weirdos, you know, like in a coffee shop, like across the street, you know? But it was the faithfulness of those who came before that has resulted in amazing fruit that we've seen. And so I'm just so glad that he's in town, and I love being around because the Spirit does amazing stuff, and it's always a lot of fun. If you've been with us the last few weeks, you know that we've been working through a series, kind of walking through the book of Exodus, right? And in that, we've also been seeing how the Lord has kind of been setting up this idea of rescuing his people, the Israelites, out of slavery, out of oppression from the Egyptians, but also the parallels that happen in the New Testament. And how Jesus Christ is God's ambassador and God's salvation for the entire world to rescue us out of the sin and the slavery of our own brokenness, right? And so we've kind of walked through this. And I thought tonight is kind of like the wrap-up of that whole series. And I thought it was just such a perfect time for us to talk about what it means to be exiles. And so I invited Aaron to come. Because this idea of, at the end of the book of Exodus, they're still not there yet, right? Moses leads them out. They come out from under, you know, the oppression of Pharaoh. They wander in the desert. You know, Peter came and talked last week about how God covenanted with the Israelites. But the end of the book of Exodus is kind of anticlimactic because, like, they don't make it to the promised land, right? It's like, oh, and then Moses dies, and then that's, like, the end. But it gets better after that. But just this idea of, like, you know, we come with all this anticipation, we come with all this excitement, but then what does it mean for us still in the meantime to not yet be home, right? And so this is why we were so excited about this message of living into how does God use you where you're at, even if it's in the desert, right? I don't think Ashton University is necessarily the desert, but maybe for you, you're having a hard time, right? And how does God use you in that place to bring the kingdom and bring his goodness? We have a couple testimonies tonight that I wanted to share because I think that you were actually doing this. I don't think this is a concept that's completely foreign to us. I think that a lot of you are already living into this concept in some ways, this idea of bringing the goodness of Christ, bringing the kingdom of God to where you find yourself in every area of campus and every aspect of your life. So I invited some of my friends to come up and just share a brief word about how, what is it that they're doing, where they're at, and how is God using them to change the culture to be influenced by the kingdom of God. And so my first friend is Sean. That's you. Come on up. Come on up. This is Sean. Everybody give him a round of applause.
Isn't it awesome?
This is so soft.
It's like 40 years old.
It's 40 years old. I can't even, it's amazing. Sean, just tell me a little about yourself.
I'm Sean Houghton.
and I'm a wrestler here, and I am in middle grades education. Is that it?
Yes.
All right. So can I continue?
Yes.
Okay. All right, real quick. So I'm a wrestler. I've been wrestling for a really, really long time, which is not necessarily a good thing. And I've kind of already, I'm not really struggling with this or have struggled with this, but this idea that I put a little too much importance on wrestling. And like since the beginning, I was talking to my dad about this, and he kind of showed me this passage. It's really quick. It's 1 Corinthians 9:24. I'll read it really quickly, sorry. Do you not know that in the race all the runners run, but only the one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get the crown that will not last, but we do it to get the crown that will last forever. Really quick, from that, this idea, I kind of struggling. I put too much importance on wrestling. And from there, I kind of looked at it a little more, and I kind of looked at the verse and said, all right, how can I kind of use this verse in the way I want to? So then I started looking at training, and now when I train for wrestling, I'm trying to get my body ready for competition. From there, I want to compete for the Lord, in the name of the Lord. So this idea, this main concept of me preparing my body through training to compete on the stage, and in my case, it's wrestling, so that I can compete and win. And that's like kind of my motivation, what's really helped me. And this kind of this family idea at my home is that if you glorify yourself before God, that glory means nothing. So this really hit home for me because I'm winning for the Lord, not necessarily for myself. And then through that, it's really helped me with the other guys in the wrestling team. I've always kind of been an open guy, easy to talk to. Some of you guys know that. I'm real open. And what's helped me with the wrestling team is guys will come up and talk to me about stuff, and I'm like, yeah, like, absolutely. I see what you're going through. Have you tried this? And I got a couple friends that are here tonight that kind of opened up, and they talked to me a little bit, and I necessarily didn't say anything really about the well, but they got motivated, and, like, through me being open, I think they realized, wow, this well's doing really good things for Sean. He's really competitive in the wrestling room. He really gets after it. He's a little crazy sometimes. I want that. Like, I see what he's going for. Maybe I want a different source. So through that, guys kind of came, and they came to the well, and one of my best friends is doing really well, and I can see everything that he's doing is just working wonders in people's lives, and I think I'd like to think that I helped him get there, and I know he was motivated to be here in the first place. I just kind of showed him the avenue. So that's how I think I'm working for the Lord. Is that all you want me to say?
You done good, Sean. Thank you.
So Sean's bringing the kingdom and living as salt and light in the midst of being on the wrestling team. And maybe, I don't know if it's the polar opposite, but it's certainly not the same, is our friend Katie, who's involved in Greek life. And I don't know how many sororities do a lot of wrestling. But Katie's going to come up, and she's going to share about basically the same thing, right? A completely different scenario, a lot of different things, a lot less people in singlets, like wrestling on the ground, but also like a place where she is able to show the goodness and the love of Jesus Christ. So Katie, come on up. That's Katie. Tell these nice people what you do for Jesus.
Hi, I'm Katie, as Nate was saying. I am involved in many things on campus, but one of the things that I'm involved in is being in a sorority, and that was a decision that I never thought I would make before coming to college, and then obviously I did, and it has been one of the greatest things that I've been able to be a part of. And in the last couple months, I had a friend come up to me and ask me if I wanted to co-lead a Bible study with her. And of course, I was like, yes, definitely. So I was able to, we've only had two meetings, guys, and I am like so encouraged and so moved by the things that we've talked about. I've watched girls that I never even knew love Jesus, be vulnerable, and be willing to open up. And I just love that we sung, there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. And I've really seen that in the last 2 weeks. I've seen chains been broken. And I just keep thinking about how when Jesus said, when two are gathered in my name, like, I am there also. And I really think that that is what's happening in these very small, I would say intimate meetings with my sisters. And it's just been such an eye-opening experience. I'm really sad that it took me till my senior year to be able to figure this out. But Jesus is really, really moving on this campus. He's moving in so many different areas, and it's really, really exciting to be a part of that, especially in Greek life, because I had two very important things in my life. It was my sorority and then the well. Those are the two things that I'm most involved in, and to be able to see those come together is really, really, really awesome. So I just encourage you guys to tap into what God is doing for his kingdom on this campus, because it's pretty awesome.
So, you know, hopefully you're getting the message tonight is like the invitation is before you, right? The Lord desires to work in and through you. If you would surrender your future to him and you would trust that he's actually got it under control, despite the fact that you feel overwhelmed and like you don't know what the next step is, to trust him with that and then begin walking into what does he have for me today? And rather than worrying about what's my tomorrow going to look like, living into how can I bring the goodness of the Lord to the present moment, right? I've been fascinated by the phenomenon of the Yik Yak, right? This is, you know about this, right? Yeah, good. Who booed it? Good. Boo, Yik Yak. Dumb old thing. If you're unfamiliar with it, I'm sure you're not. It's anonymous Twitter, and like it just gives you what people are saying within a 10-mile radius. If you've never heard of it, please save your soul and your eyes and do not look on there, because it's like Sodom. You know, it's just like Sodom and Gomorrah there. It's just like terrible. But the thing that's really interesting that I've been noticing, because I feel like I need to be hip, I need to be with it, what you young kids are all about. And so every once in a while, I go on there and then I sob in a corner for like 30 minutes. But one of the things is, what I'm finding more and more is just a culture of complaining, right? Everything, complaining. The sprinklers are going off too often, apparently, for you people. Literally. But if they weren't going off, then the grass is brown and I pay $30,000 to go here and meow, 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 right? Just like constant, shrill complaining. And I just want to speak to this quickly because I think it ties into what the Lord's doing here. You know what complaining is? Complaining is the vent valve for someone who feels helpless to change their situation. That's all that is. You have given up on trying to be an influencer, and instead you just resorted to cynicism to cope with the fact that you can't change your situation. I'm here to tell you that the people of God are not powerless to change their circumstances. We are not a people of complaining, right? We are not people who look at the world around us and look for things to pick apart and whine about. Why? Because we know the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who conquered sin and death on our behalf. We've got this thing under control, right? We're not helpless. So when you want to be kingdom changers, when you want to be salt and light, when you want to bring the kingdom of God into your scenario, just be a person who, A, just doesn't complain, right? Who's not a constant, like, finder of faults in others. And instead, be someone who's empowered by the Spirit of the living God to bring the goodness of the Lord where you're at. We are not going to be a people who are sidelined and shouted down by others who say we cannot do anything about the situations we find ourselves in. Maybe we can't. Maybe we're hopeless. Maybe we're powerless. But you know who isn't? Jesus Christ. He reigns supreme over every single thing that you encounter in your day. Jesus reigns supreme over your grades. Jesus reigns supreme in your sororities. Jesus reigns supreme on every aspect of this campus. We are a people of hope, because what God has done in and through Christ. So this is what I want to do. I want us to transition. And I would actually love us to move into a time of ministry, right? I feel like the Lord has been moving tonight, right? Have you been sensing his spirit at work? And I feel like there are people here who can maybe identify with, yeah, man, I have been looking to the future and I have been looking ahead and I've been forgetting about what I've been called to right now. And there may be some of us who are willing to admit, yeah, I've just been a complainer. I've been a fault finder. I've been feeling helpless in the situations I've found myself in rather than empowered to live out the goodness of the gospel by the Lord. If you find yourself in any of one of those two camps, we just want to pray for you. We want to pray that the Spirit would start to stir in you and you would begin to realize the potential that you have in you because Jesus Christ has called you sons and daughters and he's put you here for a reason, right? So we're going to have some leaders up at the front. Well, leadership, you weren't told about this ahead of time, but why don't you come on up? And we're going to just pray for folks as you feel led, right? Aaron's going to lead us, and we're going to do a few more songs, and we're going to sing with you, and you can worship with us. But also, I want you to take the advantage of this opportunity before you, right? That we could step into the presence of the Lord, and that we could begin to be released into the fullness of what he has for us today. That we don't have to wait. Even though we might be in exile, even though we feel like in each and every situation that we find ourselves in, there's complaining all around us, right? There's obstacles all around us. Even in the midst of that, that the Lord would use us now, that the Spirit would begin to break out and raise up leaders now so that we could influence the campus for Jesus Christ. Because if we see this community and this campus prosper with peace, and so too we will find our own prosperity and peace. I'm going to pray for us, then I'm going to have our leaders come up, and we're going to pray for you, and we're going to continue to worship together. So Jesus, oh my goodness, thanks for taking over tonight. We didn't really know what you had in mind, but we say yes and amen to all of it. We say yes and amen to the fact that you are stirring hearts right now. We say yes and amen to the fact that you are calling us to be influencers for your goodness today. And Lord, I pray that we would have this confidence to come forward and to join our hearts with others, that we would begin to pray together, that you would put in us a holy discontent for settling for how things are now, and that we would begin to live out your goodness, your redemption, your restoration, wherever we find ourselves in, whether we're in Ashbrook, whether we're in Res Life, whether we're on a sporting team, whether we're in the sorority or fraternity. Lord, wherever we are on campus, that you would use us to be people who bring salt and light in the goodness of the gospel. We pray that this night would continue to be led by you. You continue to tell us what you want us to do. May we say yes to the invitation before us. Come and surprise us. Come and take over. Come and lead us to be the people and the influencers you've called us to be. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. And God's people said,